B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Eruvin Daf Lamed Dalet. We're going to start four lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Gimel Omud Beis. We'll just recap. In the previous sugya, we saw a brisa that said that an Eruv that was put above 10 tfachim off the ground on a tree that was 4 tfachim wide, the Eruv is not a good Eruv, because since the Eruv is above 10 tfachim, 4 tfachim wide, it's in Rosh Hashayachid, and since you cannot take the Eruv from Rosh Hashayachid down to the Rosh Hasharabim, therefore it's not a valid Eruv. The Braisa said, if, however, the Eruv is put in a basket on the tree, the Eruv is a good Eruv. And the Gemara asked, why is the Eruv a good Eruv? The basket is considered a Tzidei Rosh Hashayachid, it's type of the sides, it's an extension of the Rosh Hashayachid, and it should also be Osir to put the Eruv there, since you cannot take the food from there to the Rosh Hasharabim at the base of the tree, which is where the person decided to acquire his residence for Shabbos. So Rabbi Yirmiyah explained, we saw one answer according to Ravina. According to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah said, I'll tell you why. There's a concept called hoyil v'yochil, which is potential. Since potentially you could have tilted the basket to the point that you can now remove the Eruv from there from a level that's lower than 10 tfachim, and that would be mutar bein hashmashes, even if you were to say that the karmelis is considered, that the basket is considered a karmelis, but taking from a karmelis to a Rosh Hasharabim bein hashmoshes would be mutar, because even on Shabbos it's only also midrabbanon. And that's what Rav Yirmiyah, that is how Rav Yirmiyah said. And even though the basket was not tilted, since hoyil v'yochil, since potentially you could have tilted the basket, and then it would have been a good Eruv, even if you didn't tilt the basket, it's a good Eruv. That is the concept of hoyil that Rav Yirmiyah introduced to us. Yosef Rav Papa v'ko'omer loho shmaita. Rav Papa, he was learning in the Beis Medrash, and he said over this quote from Rabbi Yirmiyah. Eisvei Rav Bar Shiva l'Rav Papa. They asked Rav Papa the following question. Keitzad hu oisa. Now, the real truth is, what's the real question here? The question is, we know that for an Eruv to be valid, for a person to be able to carry beyond 2,000 amas from where he is originally situated at the beginning of Shabbos, either he himself goes in person to a point towards the end of 2,000 amas and acquires residence there, and then he can go another 2,000 amas on Shabbos, or he stays in his home and he sends with the shliach, he sends some food that's representing him, puts it at the end of 2,000 amas, and so to speak, that way he has acquired residence at the end of 2,000 amas, and on Shabbos you can go another 2,000 amas beyond that. Everybody agrees that if not you in person and not your shliach takes some food and puts it there on your behalf, then the Eruv is certainly not valid. Well, we can ask the big question. Since potentially you could have sent the Eruv, then why don't we just say it's as if you sent the Eruv and you don't need to send the Eruv? If potentially tilting a basket makes the Eruv valid, then why is potentially sending an Eruv not equally valid? And then you should never have to send an Eruv. Now, where did we find explicitly that you actually have to send an Eruv? So, surprise, surprise, it's not even in a Mishnah. It's in a Braisa. And Rashi stresses this. He says the truth is that this is a basic question. Why do you ever have to send an Eruv? And the most explicit place that the Gemara found that you actually have to go and make sure that there's food representing you when Shabbos sets in is from this Braisa. What does it say in the Braisa? Keitzad hu oisa. And what we're talking about here is what happens if you have 2 days. You have Yom Tov and then Shabbos, or Shabbos and then Yom Tov. And you're not allowed to go beyond 2,000 amas on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. You want to go more than 2,000 amas, an extra 2,000 amas, you have to make an Eruv. Putting an Eruv requires putting some food items there. You can never be sure that the food items are going to stay there indefinitely. Animals might take it, thieves might take it. You have to make sure that relatively close to the onset of Shabbos or the onset of Yom Tov, that you know that the food is there. So this shliach, this agent that you've sent to put the food there, he has to put the food there quite close to Shabbos and or to Yom Tov, and then we know the Eruv is a good Eruv. So if you have 2 days, what happens if Yom Tov was on a Friday, and then you have Shabbos, and you want to be able to go outside the Tchum, be another 2,000 Amos, also on Yom Tov, also on Shabbos? So what do? The shliach goes before the onset of Yom Tov, on Thursday evening, Thursday afternoon, puts the Eruv there, waits till Tzeis HaKichovim, makes sure the Eruv stays there for the entire duration of Bein HaShmoshes, and then he can take the Eruv away. And since it's Yom Tov, he can carry it and he can take it back to his home, he can do what he wants with it. And then Friday afternoon, just before Shabbos, he comes again, puts the Eruv there again, waits for the duration of Bein HaShmoshes, and then the Eruv is valid for the Shabbos. Obviously, because it's Shabbos, he cannot carry the Eruv, the food of the Eruv, too far. Because it's Shabbos, you can't carry. So he can eat it, or he doesn't have to eat it, he can leave it there. It doesn't. At that point, it doesn't really matter anymore. That's what happens if Yom Tov is before Shabbos. He goes to make sure the Eruv is there before Yom Tov, he puts the Eruv there before Yom Tov, and he puts the Eruv there again before Shabbos. What happens if it's the other way around? If Shabbos is before Yom Tov, Yom Tov is on Sunday. So what do? You go on Friday afternoon and put the Eruv there before Shabbos. And then what are you going to do then? You have to leave the Eruv food there. You can't take it away because it's Friday night, it's Shabbos. Sunday is Yom Tov. The Eruv has to be there before Bein HaShmoshes on Motzeh Shabbos, on Leil Yom Rishon. So he has to go on Shabbos afternoon and make sure the Eruv is there. But you cannot carry the Eruv to the point of 2,000 Amos. You can't carry this food so far. Eruv is all about walking, going there, not carrying. You can't carry 2,000 Amos out unless it's a Rishus HaYochid, but it's not a Rishus HaYochid. If it was a Rishus HaYochid, you wouldn't be putting the Eruv there. The Eruv is that it's outside the confines of any, not only from Rosh HaYochid, from a city, 2,000 Amos. And so how are you going to put the Eruv there so you should be able to walk an extra 2,000 Amos, even on Yom Tov, which is Sunday? So you have no choice. You cannot take the Eruv there, but what you have to do is you have to go on Friday afternoon, just before the onset of Yom Tov, and make sure that the Eruv you put there on Friday afternoon for Shabbos, and make sure the Eruv is still there. Because you cannot actually take the Eruv there on Shabbos. If the Eruv from Friday afternoon is still there on Shabbos afternoon, then if you wait there to make sure it stays there till the end of Bein HaShmoshes of Motzeh Shabbos, on when Yom Tov sets in, then you can, the Eruv is valid and allows you to go another 2,000 Amos on Yom Tov. So we've discussed two cases, Yom Tov on Friday and Yom Tov on Sunday, and there's four situations of Eruv. You need an Eruv on Thursday afternoon for Friday, which is Yom Tov. You need an Eruv on Friday afternoon for the Shabbos. That's one case. And another case, you need an Eruv on Friday afternoon for the Shabbos. And then you need an Eruv for the Shabbos afternoon for Sunday. Now let's analyze this. Of these four days, only three of them, you can actually get the Eruv there in person. You can actually carry the Eruv there. You can carry the Eruv there on Thursday afternoon for Friday, which is Yom Tov. You can carry the Eruv there on Friday afternoon for Shabbos. In the event that Shabbos is first, you can carry the Eruv on Friday afternoon, so it should be there for Shabbos. But the last case, if Yom Tov is on Sunday and you want the Eruv to work, you cannot carry the Eruv there under any circumstances on Shabbos. All you can do is go there and make sure that the Eruv that was there the day before is still there. So now the Gemara is going to ask, why can't I say Hoyil? Why do I ever have to take the Eruv there? Just say, potentially I could take the Eruv there. So the Gemara is going to explain to us that that is true if you could potentially take the Eruv there. But if Yom Tov is on Sunday, and you need to make sure the Eruv is there on Shabbos afternoon, you cannot potentially take an Eruv there. There's no way in the world, because you're not allowed to carry the Eruv there. You have to have had the Eruv there previously, and on Shabbos afternoon, go just to make sure it's still there. So since in that one case, which is Yom Tov after Shabbos, And on the time to put the Eruv is Shabbos afternoon. And on Shabbos afternoon, in no way can you potentially take it there. So if people are going to think that you never have to take the Eruv because you could potentially take it there, then the exclusion to that case would be on the case where Yontov is on Sunday, where there you would actually have to go in person and take the Eruv, because you cannot potentially take it on Friday afternoon, on Shabbos afternoon. You have to take it on Friday afternoon and go again on Shabbos afternoon and check it's still there. So if we were to allow you to rely on the logic of Hoyel, then there could be a big problem for the Yontov that's on a Sunday. And that's going to be the answer of the Gemara, that you cannot use Hoyel in that, you cannot use Hoyel in that case, according to everybody. And the question is that a reason not to use Hoyel ever for Eruvin in this circumstance? That means the type of Hoyel, the type of potential, in quotes, that would allow us not to take an Eruv there, how do we say that when you never have to take the Eruv there, because you could take it there, besides for Shabbos afternoon, where you couldn't take it there, and then you would have to take it there before Shabbos? Or do we say that's too confusing, and you can never rely on this type of hoyel, you always have to take the Eruv there in person? In the case of Birmia, there's no such worry, and therefore you can say hoyel. Let's see all this inside now. Ketzad u'oisa, what should he do if Yontov is on a Friday and Shabbos is immediately afterwards? Moilichoi, this is the big words that you see in the Braisa. The Braisa says you have to go and actually take the Eruv Berishoin, which is before the Yontov, which is Thursday afternoon. U'machshich olov, and wait there till it gets dark. V'noitle, and then you can take it away with you. U'boloi b'sheini, and then on the next afternoon, on Friday afternoon, you can take it, because it's Yom Tov, you can carry on Yom Tov. You can take the food on Yom Tov and put it there before Shabbos sets on. Machshich olov, wait till it becomes Tzeisak Echovim, and it's nightfall. And then the Eruv is valid for Shabbos. And then you cannot take it away with you anymore, because it's Shabbos. V'oichloi, and you can eat it. Or you can eat it, or you can leave it there. Asks the Gemara, Amai, why does it say in the Braisa you have to go on Thursday afternoon, and you have to go on Friday afternoon to take the Eruv there? Neima, why don't we say, Kiven di iboye amtuya, motzi mamtile? Since if he wanted to take it there, he could take it there. And therefore, afal gavde loyamtai, even though he doesn't take it there, command amtaya domi. It's as if you took it there, because potentially you could have taken it there. And this is the question that they asked Rav Papa against Rav Yirmiya. Omer Rav Zera answered, Gezera, the reason that we do not allow you to rely on Hoyel, even Rabbi Yirmiya will agree that we do not use hoyel regarding whether you actually have to take the food and put it 2,000 amos where you want the Eruv to become valid, is gzeira. It's a gzeira mishum yom tov shechol yisach haShabbos, because of the case where yom tov is on Motzeh Shabbos, and there you could not potentially take it there on Shabbos afternoon. And if people are always used to not putting the Eruv there because you could potentially take it there, then you will never have a valid Eruv for Yontov, that's on Sunday. And people won't know that. And they'll assume that potentially, because you can always use Hoyel, you can use it here as well, and they will go outside the Tchum on Yontov without an Eruv. And therefore, the Chachomim said, you always have to go in person, and put the Eruv there, and in the event that it's Yontov after Shabbos, you have to go on Shabbos afternoon and check that the Eruv is still there, and then you can walk outside the Tchum even on Yontov. Continues the Gemara, we're now going to ask another question on Rabbi Yirmiya, who says that we can, that hoyil v'yochil, since potentially he could do something, it's as if he did it, we're going to ask another question. Eisvei, niskavein lishbois b'rushus harabim. If a person intended to acquire residence for Shabbos, and this is all within the world of Erev Tchumin, we know that already, he wants to be shavus, he wants to reside when Shabbos comes in, b'rushus harabim, he decided that 2,000 amos away from his home is someplace in Rosh Hashanah. He wants to put an Eruv there. So to speak, he'll acquire residence there, and then it'll be as if he has a 4 amos, and that's his residence for Shabbos, so to speak, and then he can walk beyond that on Shabbos. Obviously, if he himself is there when Shabbos comes in, you don't need to put any food there, and the whole discussion doesn't apply. We're talking about that he sends an agent, a shliach, to put food there on his behalf. And now the question is, if the food was not put at the place that he actually intended to acquire residence, like we saw till now, a person wanted to acquire residence at the foot of the tree, and he put the Eruv on top of a tree, up on the tree. We have then an issue. Is the Eruv close enough to him, and is it reachable? So if it's close enough, if it's within Dalet Amos, we already said, Rava told us, if it's within Dalet Amos around him, then since in the world of Eruv Tchumin, it's as if you've acquired a whole Dalet Amos, and the Dalet Amos goes all the way up to the sky, any Eruv which is in that space is a good Eruv, irrespective of whether you can actually take the Eruv Bein Hashmoshes, because, for example, if it's in Rosh HaYochid and the person wants to be in Rosh HaRabim, you cannot take the food, but since it's in the same domain, so to speak, it's good. If it's outside the Dalet Amos, then it's not in the same Rosh Hashanah, then at least you have to be able to actually take the Eruv. If not only is it too far away, but it's also you cannot take it, then the Eruv is not valid. And how you can have an Eruv that is too far away, that's more than four amos, the food is more than four amos from the place that you wanted to acquire residence, is an issue that the Ritva a few times discusses. He discussed it previously with a tree. At the bottom of Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, we saw that with a tree, that the Ritva said that since it's all within the tree combines and somehow associates the Eruv food to the place where a person wanted to acquire residence. And the Ritva again here is going to discuss it and says that there must be something combining the person with the Eruv. But either way, we're here discussing when a person was niskavin lishbois b'rishus harabim, he intended to acquire residence for the Eruv purpose in rishus harabim. V'hiniach Eruvoi, where did he put the Eruv food? B'koisel. He put it on a wall that was adjacent, that was in the rishus harabim. If he put the Eruv in the wall, there was obviously some niche in the wall, or maybe the top of the wall, if the wall was lower than 10 Tvachim, if you put it in a niche lower than 10 Tvachim, Eruv or Eruv, the Eruv is a good Eruv. Since it's not in Rishus HaYochid, and the person himself, what is being Koine Shvisa, his residence is in Rishus HaRabim, and the food is also in the Rishus HaRabim, therefore, it's a kosher Eruv, even though it's more than Dalet Amos. We've already said previously that even though on Shabbos you're not allowed to carry Dalet Amos in Rosh HaRabim, how is he going to bring the Eruv, the food, to him on Shabbos? The answer is that you're allowed to go on Min HaTorah, you can carry in Rosh HaRabim if between every, you go less than four Amos and you stop, and then another less than four Amos and you stop. You're not allowed to do that. Midrabbonon, you shouldn't do that. But Bein HaShmoshes, according to Rebbe, you're allowed to do the things that are only awesome at Rabbanon on Shabbos, and therefore you can bring the Eruv to him as long as he doesn't walk four Amos at a time. And that's why the Eruv is a good Eruv. L'maylo me'asara tfachim, if you put it on the wall above 10 tfachim height, ein Eruv or Eruv, then the Eruv is not a good Eruv, because not only is it outside four Amos, distance away from him, but he's in the Rishus HaRabim. The Eruv is above 10 Tvachim on a wall, which is a Rishus HaYochid. And so that you're not allowed to take the Eruv from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. That's severely also on Shabbos, and is also also Bein HaShmoshes. Niskavin Lishbois B'Rosh HaShoivach. If he intended to acquire residence at the top of a Shoivach, which is a dovecot, Oy Barosh HaMigdal, on top of a closet, which is a Rishus HaYochid, and Oy Barosh HaMigdal L'maylo Me'asara Tvachim, above 10 Tvachim, Eruv Oy Eruv. And again, we're talking about there's a wall, in the same way as beforehand we're talking about a wall next to the Rishus HaRabim, here there's a wall next to the Migdal, or next to the Shevach, next to the closet or the dovecote. Then if you have a wall and you put the Eruv on the wall and you put the Eruv above 10 Tvachim, Eruv Oy Eruv, then the Eruv is a good Eruv, because this person was Koine Shvisa, acquired residence on top of the dovecote or on top of the closet, which is a Rishus HaYochid. The Eruv is above 10 Tvachim on the wall, which is also a Rishus HaYochid, and we assume that there's no gap between the dovecote or the closet and the wall. If there was a gap, there would be a problem of moishit, of taking something from Irshus Hayochid to Irshus Hayochid over the airspace of Rishus Harabim, which is also even if it's above 10 tvachim. But if there's no space between the two, if they are flash with each other, then it's a good Eruv, because he is in Rishus Hayochid and the food is in Rishus Hayochid. If, however, the wall is less than 10 tvachim, namely it's exactly 9 tvachim, and it's a type of wall that the public, they adjust their baggages, the things that they're carrying on their shoulders, they adjust them on this wall. And since it's commonly used by the public, then this wall being exactly the right height for that, which is 9 tvachim, not too low to be uncomfortable to use and not too high to be Rishus Hayochid, therefore it's considered a Rishus Harabim. If you put the Eruv on such a type of wall, Ein Eruv or Eruv, the Eruv is not a good Eruv, because the Eruv is on the wall, which is a Rishus Harabim. The person was Koina Shvisa on top of the dovecote or on top of the closet, which is a Rishus Hayochid. You're not allowed to take something from Rishus Harabim to Rishus Hayochid. That was this halacha, the Braisa. Asks the Gemara, am I in the case that the person was Koina Shvisa on top of the dovecote or closet, and the Eruv is on the wall, which is considered a Rishus Harabim? Why do you say the Eruv is not a good Eruv? Why don't we use the concept of Hoyel? There's something we could potentially do that would solve the problem. What could you do? You could tilt the dovecote a little bit, or you could tilt the closet a little bit, until the top of the closet, which is where the person was Koina Shvisa, acquired his residence, is less than 10 tvachim. And if the top of the closet is now also less than 10 tvachim, then there'll again not be a problem to take the Eruv, which is also less than 10 tvachim. The Amai Hochanami, why don't you say, we should say hoil v'yochil, since potentially you could lintoisoi to tilt the closet or the dovecote lahavie l'teichasara, to bring it to less than 10 tvachim, and then you won't have a problem of taking it to a Rishus Hayochid. It will no longer be a Rishus Hayochid. So according to Rabbi Yirmiyahu, we have a problem with this braisa. Omer Rabbi Yirmiyahu answered as follows: Hocha b'migdal masumar oskinon. We're talking about a closet that's actually nailed into position, and therefore, even potentially, you could not tilt this closet. Rav Omer, Rav's got another answer. Afilu teima b'migdal she'enei masumar. Even in the event that we know the closet is not nailed in, and potentially you could tilt it, Hocha b'migdal oruch oskinon. We're talking about a very tall migdal. And a very tall migdal, if you tilt it enough, that the top of the migdal, the top of this closet, is going to be less than 10 tvachim off the ground, then the amount that it will have moved horizontally, the top, means the top will have angled down and will have moved away from where it was more than 4 amos. And since the place which is now the shvisa, the top of this closet, which is where he was Koina Shvisa, where he acquired residence, you would have to move the place of his residence 4 amos from where he originally wanted to acquire his residence. And since the only way you can get to the Eruv is by moving your place of residence 4 amos, then that renders the Eruv as invalid. Hocha b'migdal oruch oskinan, we're talking about a very tall closet, the imam tele purta, that if you would tilt it enough, that means a little bit, just enough to be less than 10 tvachim from off the ground, ozil chutz l'arba amos, it will have gone beyond 4 amos from the original place, and that renders the Eruv as invalid. Not that you can't get the food of the Eruv, but rather because the place of your residence has moved 4 amos. Says the Gemara, hey chadami. Let's try and understand another aspect in this case. We're talking about that the person was Koina Shvisa on top of the closet, above 10 tvachim. Where's the Eruv? Below 10 tvachim, in Rishus Harabim. And since he cannot lift up the Eruv food, which is in Rishus Harabim, to the Rishus Hayochid, it's not a valid Eruv. Says the Gemara, Ida Ika Kavsa Umasna, in the event that the food, the Eruv food, was tied to a rope, through a window, through a hole, to the top of the closet, and the person was, that means the, and the top of the string, the other side of the string, was being held at the top of the closet, which is a Rishus Hayochid. And then we know that anything that is not completely in the Roshus HaRabim, anything that is even partially also anchored and held by an area outside the Roshus HaRabim, it's not considered as being fully placed in the Roshus HaRabim. And to take that from such a situation, to take it into Roshus HaYochid, is not Osur Min HaTorah. So if you've got a string attached to the food, and the food and the string is coming up to the top of the dovecote, to the top of the closet in the Roshus HaYochid, then why should the Eruv not be valid? Laisa Bekav So Masna, you should bring it through this window with the string. Answers the Gemara, you're right. In the event that there was such a window and there was a string that was attaching the food to the area above the closet, you're right, then the food is not considered as being absolutely associated to the Roshus HaRabim, because it's held on a string, or it's tied to a string which is in the Roshus HaYochid, and therefore you would be allowed to take that food, Bein HaShmoshes, to the Roshus HaYochid. Delesli Kavso Masna, the aloch we mentioned here, and this price is only true in the event that the food is independently positioned in the Roshus HaRabim and is not attached to any strings which is got on the other end in the Roshus HaYochid, and therefore it will not be a good Eruv in this case. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, the third and last halacha mentioned in the Mishnah was if you put Nosnei Beboyer, if you put the Eruv into a pit, afilu omik meo amo, even if it's deep, if it's 100 amos deep, Eruvai Eruv. The Eruv is an Eruv even though it's deep down. Says the Gemara, Hai Boyer, Dekoi Heicha. Where does this Boyer, where is it situated? If you say that the position of this boyer is in the middle of a Roshus HaYochid, then we know that Roshus HaYochid oile, and the Gemara says pshita, it's poshut, Roshus HaYochid oile ad larokia. We know that Roshus HaYochid goes up, that means that if you have a domain which has got the status of Roshus HaYochid, it keeps that status all the way up to the sky. In the same way as Roshus HaYochid goes all the way up, so too it goes all the way down. So if you have an area which is considered a Roshus HaYochid, anything down, anything below is all a Roshus HaYochid. If so, if you have a pit in the middle of a Roshus HaYochid, then it's all Roshus HaYochid, and you can carry from one place to the next. You're free to do what you want in there. So of course it's a good Eruv. What's the Chiddush? The Mishnah must be talking about a case where it was in a Roshus HaRabim. In the middle of a Roshus HaRabim, you have a boyer, a pit, and in there you put the Eruv. And the Mishnah is saying that even though the pit is very deep, the Eruv is a kosher Eruv. Ask the Gemara, let's try and understand, where is this person intending to acquire his residence for Shabbos? Deniskavin lishbois heicha. Where did he intend to reside at the onset of Shabbos? Ilamailo, if he intended to reside in the Roshus HaRabim, just outside the pit, or maybe not just outside the pit, because we said that if it's within Dalad Amos of where the person is, then it's considered that it's in the same domain as his. So Tosfos says it must be talking about a little bit outside, 4 amos away from the boyer, then who b'mokim echod ve'iruvay b'mokim achir? Who? Then if so, how can the Eruv be a good Eruv? He's in the Roshus HaRabim, the food is in the pit, and the pit is definitely considered, especially if it's 100 amos deep, anything more than 10 amos deep is considered a Roshus HaYochid, and you cannot bring the Eruv towards you. And then we have the issue. If you cannot bring the Eruv to you, then how can the Eruv be valid? The Mishnah said the Eruv is valid. Ilamato pshitahu. And if you say that the person intended to acquire his residence in the pit, then again, poshut. He's in the pit. He's in the Roshus HaYochid. The food's there with him. So what's the problem? Pshitahu. Hu ve'iruvay b'mokim echod. He and the Eruv is in the same domain, in the same Roshus. Of course it's a good Eruv. Says the Gemara loy. Tzricha, there is a chiddush in the Mishnah. Dekoi b'karmelis. We're talking about that the pit is actually in amongst some fields. And fields, they're not Roshus HaYochid. they're not encircled, they don't have walls around them, it's not Rishus HaRabim, they're not wide enough, or they're not enough people going through it, it's not got the status of Rishus HaRabim. V'niskavin lishbois lemailo, and he intended to acquire his residence at the top, not inside the pit, in the karmelis. And the food is in the pit. In the pit is Rishus HaYochid. If the pit would be less than 10 tefachim deep, it would have the same status as a karmelis. If it's the same status as a karmelis, then there's no good reason the Eruv should not be a good Eruv. You're allowed to carry Min HaTorah in a karmelis, and therefore, like the Gemara is about to say, V'Rebbi Hi De'Omar Kol Dovar Shu Mishum Shvus Le'Gozor Olov Bein HaShmoshes, as we saw. Anything that's only Asam Ederabonon on Shabbos, then you're allowed to do it Bein HaShmoshes. So if the Eruv is, if the pit is not so deep, then the pit has the status of a karmelis, then it's straightforward that he can carry the Eruv is kosher. But the Mishnah is saying, even if it's a Rishus HaYochid, which means even if the pit is a deep pit and it has the status of a Rishus HaYochid, carrying between a Rishus HaYochid and a karmelis is also only also midrabonon, and therefore, Bein HaShmoshes, according to Rebbe, you can bring the Eruv up to the karmelis, and therefore it's a valid Eruv, and it's following Rebbe. Says the next Mishnah, Nosnei Barosh HaKono, if somebody put the Eruv on top of a reed, he had a reed in the ground, and on top of it he put the Eruv, Oy Barosh HaKundos, or on top of a pole, Bizman Shehu Tolush V'Notz, in the event that this reed is not really getting its nourishment from the ground, it was detached from the ground, and then it was stuck back into the ground, then afilu gvoya kuf amo, even if it's 100 amos off the ground, hareza eruv, the eruv is a good eruv, it's valid. And Rashi explains that even though it's very tall, since it's not irushus hayochid, it's a mokim ptur, if it's a mokim ptur, you're allowed to bring the food down from there into the rishus harabim beyond it, and therefore it's a kosher eruv. Rashi adds that at the bottom of the pole or at the bottom of the reed is not dalad al dalad, otherwise it would be Rishus HaYochid. But at the top, as we discussed in a previous Gemara, the Eruv has to be put onto a significant area, so the top has to be 4 tefachim wide. But since the bottom is not 4 tefachim wide, it's not considered a Rishus HaYochid. Continues the Gemara. Romi Leirv Ada Bar Masna Lerova. Rabbi Adabar Masna asked Rava the following contradiction. In the Mishnah it says, Tolush v'notz in. You're only allowed to use an Eruv if it's on top of these reeds. If the reeds have previously been detached from the ground, they're no not longer nourishing from the ground, and they've just been stuck into the ground to hold the Eruv. Then the halacha is true, the Eruv is a valid Eruv. Loi tolush v'notz. If, however, this reed is not being detached, if it's growing there, this reed was growing there and was getting its nourishment from the ground, and now he's putting the Eruv on top, loi, in that case, the Eruv is not a valid Eruv. Why would the Eruv not be valid? Because you're not allowed to use anything that's attached to the ground. A tree, you're not allowed to use a tree. You're not allowed to climb on a tree. You're not even allowed to take something off a tree, as we saw in a Gemara previously. If so, if the reed is still getting its nourishment from the ground, then you're not allowed to take anything off it, and the Eruv is not valid. But the issa to take something off a tree or off something growing from the ground is only midrabonon. And when does the Eruv need to be valid? Bein HaShmoshes. According to Rebbe, anything that's only Asa on Shabbos Midrabanon, you're allowed to do Bein HaShmoshes. Why is the Eruv not valid? Says the Gemara, Mani, Rabbonon hi. It must be that our Mishnah is following the Rabbonon that says that since it's Asa on Shabbos Midrabanon, it's also Asa Bein HaShmoshes. If it's Asa Bein HaShmoshes, the Eruv will not be valid. It must be the Rabbonon de Omri called Dovar Shum Mishum Shvus. Anything which is also midrabonon on Shabbos, gozro lov bein HaShmoshes, they said that even bein HaShmoshes, it's also. And this seems to contradict what we saw in the Flamed Beis Amud Beis, v'ha'omrus reisha Rebbe. We saw in a previous Mishnah on the Flamed Beis that the Mishnah there is following Rebbe, that says that anything which is only also midrabonon is mutar bein HaShmoshes. The Mishnah on the Flamed Beis Amud Beis was talking about if you have an Eruv on a tree, less than 10 tefachim off the ground, where you want to be able to take the Eruv off the tree, we say that, according to Rebbe, The Mishnah says it's a good Eruv, even though you're not allowed to take the food off on Shabbos, but according to Rabbi, you're allowed to take the food off Bein Hashmashos, and therefore it's a valid Eruv. So can it be that Reisha Rebbe v'Sefer Rabbonon, that one Mishnah is Rebbe and the next Mishnah is the Rabbonon? That is the question that Rav Adar Bar Masna asked Rava. Omale, so Rava answered to Rav Adar Bar Masna, Kvar Romi le Romi Bar Chomo le Rav Chizda. Romi Bar Chomo already asked this question to Rav Chizda. V'shoni le and Rav Chizda answered this question as follows. Reisha Rebbe v'Sefer Rabbonon. Indeed, the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Beis is following Rebbe, and the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Daled, our Mishnah, is following the Rabbonon. Ravina Omar, Ravina argues with Rav Chizda and gives another solution. Kulo Rebbehi. Even this Mishnah here is following Rebbe, that Rebbe says that something that's only Asar on Shabbos mid Rabbonon is Mutar Bein Hashmashos. The Sefer, nonetheless, over here, he says that if you put an Eruv on this reed, in the event that the reed is still getting its nourishment from the ground, it's going to be Osa. Why? The Sefer, this Mishnah, Gzeira Shemo Yiktim, that even though there's a lot in common between the reed and the tree, and therefore, in the same way as you're not allowed to take off a tree on Shabbos, Midrabonon, you're not allowed to take something off a reed on Shabbos. However, Bein Hashmashos is going to be a difference. With a tree, that the chances of actually breaking a branch off a tree are relatively slim. Therefore, the Rachachomim said, if it's Bein Hashmashos, you can be lenient. The reed, however, is very, very brittle and thin, and it's almost inevitable that when you take the Eruv off, you're going to break off part of this reed, or you're going to break off this reed. Therefore, since Gzeirah Shama Yiktoim, they said, even Bein Hashmashos, you're not allowed to take the Eruv off, because if you are Yiktoim, and we're assuming you're going to be Yiktoim, that's not an Issa Drabonon. That's an Issa of Ktsira, an Issa of reaping, and since we assume that you're going to be Koitum, you're going to sever and break the reed, therefore it's also even Bein Hashmashos. Continues the Gemara. Hahu Pulmusa Da'osa L'Narada. There was a whole army unit that came to visit in Narada. Omer Luhu, Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said to the Talmidim that we haven't got space here in the Beis HaMedrash to give a regular shir tomorrow on Shabbos, and there's too many people here. Puku, go out, Avidu, and make place that we should be able to sit down outside in the fields and learn Torah tomorrow on Shabbos. Kivushe Kovshi, you should press down the reeds, you should crush them down, Ba'agma, in the marsh, and when the reeds are all down, we'll be able to sit on them tomorrow on Shabbos, and Lamochar on Shabbos tomorrow, Nezel V'Nesef Ilavei, will go and sit on them. That was an incident, that's what Rav Nachman said. Rav Nachman said you can press down the reeds in the marsh, and then we'll be able to sit on it on Shabbos. Eisvei Romi Bar Choma Rav Nachman. Romi Bar Choma asked Rav Nachman the following question. V'omri lo Rav Ukva Bar Abba Rav Nachman. Others say it was Rav Ukva Bar Abba that asked Rav Nachman. That in our Mishnah, what did we see? Tolush v'notes in, you're only allowed to take an Eruv off a reed on Shabbos, or even Bein Hashmashos, as we saw, is only if it's been detached from and not nourishing anymore from the ground. Loi talush v'notz, if however it's not been detached, it's still growing and nourishing from the ground, loi, you're not allowed to use these reeds. And over here you see that you've got these reeds and you allowed them to sit on it on Shabbos. How can that be? Omar Leir of Nachman answered as follows. Hasam be'uzrodin. In our Mishnah, we're talking about relatively stiff reeds, and they have a lot in common with a tree. And therefore, the gzeira that the Chachomim said, you're not allowed to use a tree, also applies to not using reeds. And even though before we discussed Bein Hashmashos, regarding Shabbos itself, there's no difference at all between the reeds and a tree. However, in the case of Rav Nachman, we're talking about that they were not hard, they were very soft reeds, and they were more similar to just vegetation that was growing there. And the Chachomim never made a gzeira not to use, or not to lean on, or do anything with the soft reeds. And you're going to ask me, where do we see there's a difference between hardened reeds and not hardened reeds? The Tanya, we learned a brisa. Hakonin the reeds, Vohaatudin, Vohahegin, and these are different species of thorn bushes, Min Ilonheim. They are considered like a tree, and this is relevant regarding Kilaim. In a vineyard, you're allowed to plant trees besides the vines, but you're not allowed to plant vegetables, other vegetation. So the Braisa says that Konin, reeds, and Otterdin and Hogin are considered a type of species of trees, Ve'enon Kilaim, and therefore they're not Kilaim, but Kerem in the vineyard. You can plant them there. V'tanya doch, in another Braisa it said, Hakonim, again mentioning the reeds, V'hakidon V'haurvenin, these are all mean yerekin. These are species of vegetables. V'hein kilayim bekeren, and they are kilayim in the vineyard, and you're not allowed to plant them in a vineyard. Kashia hadodi, the two braces are contradicting each other. Elo, it must be shmamino. From here we see kan bo'izradin. If you have reeds that have been hardened, they are considered trees. They're considered trees, so they have the issa of using trees on Shabbos, and it has the heter, the leniency of planting trees in a vineyard. Kan b'she'eino izradin, and the other braisa is talking about where they have not been hardened, and therefore they're called vegetables and are yes kilayim in the vineyard, and they do not have the issa of not using them on Shabbos. Shmaminos, you see from these braisas, there must be a difference between different types of reeds. And now, by the way, the Gemara says, V'kido, you mentioned in the Braisa that kido is considered a yerek vegetable. Min yereku? This seems to contradict the Mishnah v'otnan, ein markivin pegom al gaba kido levono. You're not allowed to graft a pegom, a branch of pegom, into a kido levono, white kido, mipnei shehu yerek b'ilon, because it's called grafting a vegetable into a tree. So you see here that the kido levono is considered a tree. How could you say that in Hilchas Kilayim, in the vineyard, it's considered a vegetable? Omer of Papa, you're right. Kido lechud v'kido levono lechud. Kido, when it's just called kido, then it's considered a vegetable. Kido levono, the white kido, that is called, is a different halacha, that's considered a tree, and it would be even mutter to plant it in the vineyard, and that's the difference between the two kidos. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to learn the next Mishnah.